Good morning, everyone.
It's good to be back. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Now, with these words, John explicitly tells us the topic of the passage. John makes it very, very clear as to what he's writing about. Love. Love one another. Love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God. In this passage from the very first verse, John explicitly tells us this is an exploration of the concept of love. And it is an exploration that is practical, applicable, and livable. And that's the main point we work off of today. John's exploration of love is practical, applicable, and livable. And so we'll begin by exploring John's points on love. He actually moves through the passage in four major points. And we'll just first go through those four points, and then we'll just stop and think about how it can be practical. How it can be applicable and how it can be livable. Now, the first point is John illuminates the origin of love. Second, he shows us what love looks like in action. And third, he shows us how we know love, how we know we're experiencing love. And fourth, John tells us how we ought to respond to this love. Let me repeat all of that again. John moves through the passage in four main points. First, John illuminates the origin of love. Second, he shows us what love looks like in action. Third, he shows us how we know love, how we experience love. And fourth, he tells us how we ought to respond to love. So the origin of love, John's first point. In verse 7 and 8, John writes that love is from God and also that God is love. John stresses that the origin of love is God. In other words, love does not come as a human concept. It's not an idea that we created. It's not something that we made. No, instead, John reminds us very clearly, love has divine origins coming from the one who is love. God is love. And it is from God that love is found in this world. So the origin of love is God, or if you like, God is love. And to add to it, John tells us what God's love looks like in action. This is John's second point in his exploration of love. Not just what love looks like, but what God's love looks like in action, in expression, in how God's love is expressed in a very particular moment in history. John helps us to understand God's love, what it looks like in action in that particular instance in history. A particular instance embodied by God sending his son as an atoning sacrifice for us. In verse 10, John writes this, God loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. In other words, God's love as expressed, is it's self-sacrificial in nature. And on top of being self-sacrificial, God's love, it moves first, meaning it takes the initiative in reconciling broken relationships to reconcile himself to us. By atoning for our sins, by paying for our sins, God takes the initiative to reconcile himself to us. Verse 10 makes this taking initiative quite clear. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. God loved us first through the sacrifice of his son, bringing us back into relationship. Now, God's love is much richer than this, of course. It is faithful, protective, abounding, redeeming, faithful, eternal. But at least for the purposes of today's message, in the context of today's passage, we find God's love as something self-sacrificial, and something that takes the initiative to reconcile broken relationships. So the origin of love is God. God is love. John's first point, God's love is self-sacrificial, takes the initiative to reconcile broken relationships. John's second point. And then John adds a third point. He adds a third point to his exploration of love. How do we come to know God's love? How do we come to know this sacrificial reconciling of love? John tells us, through God's Spirit. It is only through God giving us His Spirit that we know that God sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice. That we know God's love. Which is why verse 13 and 14 has this: He has given us of His Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. It is only through God's Spirit that we can confess and know that Jesus is Lord and Savior. It is only through God's Spirit that we know God's love. It is only through God's Spirit that we know that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Let me recap a bit. The origin of love is God. God is love. Point one. Point two, God's love is self-sacrificial. Takes the initiative to reconcile broken relationships. Point three, we can only know God's love through the gift of His Spirit. Point four, and finally, John helps us to recognize our response to this love. And there are two responses in the passage. Our first response is just simply no. We no longer need to fear God's wrath or fear God whatsoever. We no longer need to fear God's wrath, His day of judgment. As John writes in verse 17, through the sacrifice of Jesus, we may have confidence in the day of judgment. In the day of judgment, we know God has found us righteous. God will not condemn us. It is a day we can look forward to with confidence, even with joy and anticipation. Now, that's our first response to God's love, to no longer fear His wrath, nor His day of judgment. Our second response to God's love is to love one another. Our love for God is actually an expression of, our love for one another is actually an expression of our love for God. Which is why John writes this in verse 21, in closing this part of the passage, verse 21 says that this commandment we have from Him, that the one who loves God should also love his brother. As God loved us first, our response is to love one another. So again, let me sum up what I've said so far. John makes four points in his exploration of love. An exploration of love that is practical, it's applicable, and wholly livable. And the four points, the origin of love, God. God is love. What God's love looks like in action? Self-sacrificial. Takes the initiative to reconcile broken relationships. How we know God's love? Through God's Spirit. How we ought to respond to God's love? Without fear of Him on the day of judgment, and of course, to love one another. So we stop here now. We stop here to meditate on what John has said about love. We stop here to ponder, to reflect on what John has said and what that truly means for us. As I said, John's exploration of love is, it's livable, it's practical, it's applicable. And so we ask, looking at John's points on love, looking at John's exploration of love, how do these four points meaningfully affect, change, mold, redirect our lives? So let us begin with the origin of love. Now, when we truly realize that God is love, we recognize one of the great attributes of God. In other words, Love is a fundamental part of who God is. And now, it is also something that becomes a fundamental part of our makeup. Because verse 7 makes it very clear. Everyone who loves has been born of God. And as we have been born of God, we are, in some respects, like God in this attribute. When we are born of God, when we become Christians, there is a spiritual transformation in our makeup. As love is a fundamental part of God's character, love becomes a fundamental part of our character. Something spiritual and divine in nature, love, becomes a permanent and new part of our spiritual yet physical bodies lived out. And in this new spiritual birth, in this new reality, we love as God's love. And really, what that does is just set up the rest of the points. We love as God loves because it's now a spiritual reality of our character. And then John's second, third, and fourth point in the passage is really, how do we really live out this reality? How do we live out the reality that we too have love as a part of our being, like our Father God? And so let's move on to John's other points. Let us move on first to how God expresses his love and see how we too can live this out. Now remember, John shows us that God's love is self-sacrificial and takes the initiative to seek reconciliation. Let me give you a personal experience of what this is like. To experience a love that is sacrificial, to experience a love that takes initiative to reconcile broken relationships. I have a friend. We had a falling out 13 years ago. I had not heard from him since. Really, we left on terrible terms. And 2 months ago, he contacted me. I was genuinely shocked. Emailing me through an address I haven't used for a decade. My first thought is, what did he want? I was so surprised by this. I didn't reply for a week. What does he want? Money? I don't know. I had no idea why he reached out, especially given just how badly things had left. Well, I did talk to him eventually. And in the spirit of our passage, he had reached out to mend our relationship. He had reached out to tell me that he wanted to mend the broken relationship with his Christian brother, just like the love described in today's passage. Remember, God's love takes the initiative to reconcile broken relationships. And like God's love, my friend, my brother, he reached out first just as God loved us first. He reached out first to restore the relationship. He had a heart of God's love to reach out first and restore the relationship. He had the humility to reach out first. It doesn't matter that I could have been the party who was the worst, because this is God's love. To reach out first, to reconcile first. And let this be an example to motivate you to live, to love like God. Let this be an example to help you live out John's second point. Let your love be an affection that takes the initiative to reconcile broken relationships. I haven't been very involved in LGC for a long time. I'm not really aware of all the specifics that are going on. So I have to give this to you in a very general manner. When I say, let your love be an affection that takes the initiative to reconcile broken relationships, let me just say this. Go and find that person whom you have a broken relationship with and restore it. I'm pretty sure we all have one of these. Just a broken relationship. Maybe it's sometimes in the back of our minds. And I encourage you now to just take a moment and reflect on this. Who was this person? Who was this relationship? I really ask that you take a moment now to reflect on this. And let me ask you some questions to help guide you in this. Just to guide you through this reflection. Is it someone who has left this church? Is it someone whom you left another church because? Is it someone in the congregation? Is it someone in another congregation? Is it someone who used to be a very good friend of yours? I don't know. Maybe this person is outside of the Christian faith, but it doesn't matter. If this someone exists, go. Be like God's love. Act this out. Live out a love that takes the initiative to reconcile broken relationships. It doesn't matter who was wrong. Love one another because God loved us first. We have a new spiritual reality where love is also a fundamental part of us, and like God's love, it is a love that takes the initiative to reconcile broken relationships. So go find this person. Restore and mend this. Now, as I said, John's exploration of love comes out in 4 points. We'll move on to John's third point. John's third point is that, well, we only know God's love because God gave us His Spirit. Knowing God's love is, it's not automatic. It's not something we can actually take for granted. We can't do it naturally as sinners. We are blind to sin. We need God's Spirit to recognize His love, to recognize that He sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for us. Let me offer you another illustration, just to get at this point, to get at the application of it. Let me offer you an illustration from the life of two other people I know. They live together. They have a close relationship with one another. They constantly fight, though. Little things, big things, medium things, it doesn't matter. They just do. Because they're both stubborn, proud people. Because they're both so similar to each other. Each person wants to always be right. Each person always wants to win, have the last word. Fights, arguments, discussions, they have nothing to do with right or wrong, true, false, ethical, unethical. It is simply a contest of pride between two very similar people. They are so similar. In ways that only family members can be similar. There is one exception to this, though. There's one exception to this similarity. One is a Christian, and one is not. In other words, the Christian in this understands that pride is sinful. It is wrong. He or she is not less filled with pride, but he or she knows pride is sinful. It causes breaks in relationships. The non-Christian, on the other hand, sees pride as something to be held, something worth protection. I have my pride too, says the non-Christian. And he says it proudly because he cannot see that pride is sinful, because he does not know God, because God's Spirit of truth does not reside in him. There's nothing wrong with pride because simply he doesn't know. But we are different. As God's love changes our character, well, His Spirit also changes us. It is through God's Spirit that we see how God loved us and how we see that God freed us. It's not just from the bondage of sin, but the blindness that we're slaves to sin. Isaiah 42:7. Jesus came to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. This is what we used to be, blind people in prison, in darkness. It is only through the Spirit of God that we see our blindness. Put another way, it is only through the Spirit of God that we see our hidden sins. The Spirit allows us to know and see God's love, but also to see our own sins, the hidden ones. And so for the non-Christian in my illustration, well, pride is a hidden sin, representing those sins that we don't even know about. The hidden sins that we bring into arguments and fights with people we love. So go, make use of this gift to see hidden sins. As God's Spirit allows us to see God's love in Jesus' sacrifice, God's Spirit allows us to see our hidden sins, the blindness that we have to love one another. And so go, again I ask you, go and reflect on this person that you seem to have this conflicted relationship with. His. Again, my guess is there is someone like this in your life. And I encourage you to consider this person, to reflect on a relationship that isn't so much filled with conflict, it is filled with unnecessary conflict. I encourage you to consider this close relationship you have troubled, at times broken up by unnecessary conflict. And again, I encourage you to, well, do that now as I encourage you to consider someone whom you have a broken relationship with this. And again, I ask you to reflect on that now, but let me also guide you with some questions. Who is this person? Probably someone close to you. Probably someone you love. Probably someone you live with. Your spouse, probably, maybe, your brother, your sister, your child, parent, in-laws. Consider this. Ask the Spirit to reveal your hidden sins in this conflicted relationship. We are not like the non-Christian who is completely blind to the pride, the jealousy, the selfishness, the insecurity. These hidden sins that can break relationships. As God's Spirit reveals the truth of His love for us, pray and ask the Spirit to reveal these hidden sins to you, that you may love one another even more. Let's move on to John's last point. Again, let me sum up a bit. Point one, the origin of love is God. God is love. And since we are born of God, love becomes just a permanent part of us as well. Point two, God's love is self-sacrificial. It takes the initiative to reconcile broken relationships. And that leads us to reconcile broken relationships with our brothers and sisters. Point three, we only know God's love because God gave us His Spirit. A Spirit to open our blind eyes. And that leads to our ability to see our hidden sins. The ones that result in conflicted relationships. Allow us to repent of them. Point four, John's last point. Now, to close off this passage, John reminds us that, well, we ought to respond to God's love in two ways. One, to not fear God on the day of judgment. And of course, to love one another. We'll skip judgment today. We'll skip on that. We'll move to, well, the second response. Our response to love is, of course, to love one another. John's basic premise in this entire passage can be summarized as this: as God is loved and as God loved us, we ought to love one another. Now, in writing today's message, I realized that in this statement that is powerful yet general, this statement to love one another, specific application of this point is really not easy to bring out. Love one another. Well, okay, but when, how, why, in what manner, at what time? Well, at least in this instance, I can say, without knowing everything, that the command to love one another can be very directly expressed in our prayer life. Specifically, expressed directly in our intercessory prayer lives, in how we pray for one another. And this is what I mean. I do keep an organized list of people I pray for throughout the week. You are not on it. Now, it is marked off both by the day of the week and categories. I'm kidding. Actually, some of you are on it. Actually, no, just five. Sorry. Now, it's, this is Father's Day. Yes, my dad is on it. My brother might be streaming this. Yes, you are on it. I don't remember. It's just a list. So it's an organized list of people I pray for. It is marked off by day, week, category. Mondays, I pray for these people, these ministries, all these certain parts of the world. Tuesday, a different set of people, different set of ministries, different places. Now, I find that this list, it works, but it only works best if I can pray for these people in a very specific manner, meaning if I know their life circumstances. It is easy, somewhat, to pray for someone in a general sense, but it becomes really difficult to pray for them very specifically. But it is in knowing the specifics that intercessory prayer, praying for one another, becomes more meaningful, a better expression to love one another. Let me give you an illustration. There is a specific person I pray for each week. Again, it's not one of you. Each week I pray that this person will come to know God. But I found that praying for her, it was so general, I couldn't figure this out, but it became more meaningful once I started to think about the specifics of her life, to find out exactly what was hindering from knowing God. Is it because there's no one close to her to simply preach the gospel to her? Is it because she's trapped in a cultural upbringing of ancestor worship? Is it because she struggles with hurtful experiences with Christian friends? It is in knowing the specifics of her life circumstances that my prayers for her become more meaningful, that I am more able, that we are more able to love one another. Not that praying for someone is, in general, is not meaningful, but in taking the time to find out life circumstances, our prayer lives become more meaningful, more able to live out John's message to love one another. It is somewhat easier to pray for someone in general. It is an altogether different matter to pray for someone with specifics. When you know your life circumstances, when you know their life circumstances, sorry, when you take the time to know their prayer requests, their struggles, their celebrations, their wins, their losses, I promise you, take the time to know their life circumstances, and I guarantee you, I promise, your intercessory prayer life becomes far richer, far more meaningful. So again, go, I encourage you, really take the time to ask people about their prayer requests, and really do take advantage of texting. What I mean is, do take advantage of prayer request groups. So go. I encourage you, create a prayer request chat group for your fellowship, within your fellowship. Go, create a prayer request chat group with the people you pray for. maybe with just the members of your family, or between families. Let me close off with the beginning of verse 1 from our, let me close off with the beginning verse of our passage. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. What a fitting way to begin an exploration of love that is practical, livable, applicable. And really, from this exploration of love comes such a rich message to us. Since we are born of God, since love becomes a part of our makeup, we must live out a life of God-like love. We must reconcile these broken relationships. We must resolve and maintain and redeem these conflicted relationships through the Spirit of truth. We must love one another by praying for one another in more and more specific ways. Beloved, cherished brothers and sisters, love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God.